stuff. Okay, so so Daniel asked if I could give a shir that's somewhat related to Tumcha Shabbos, which is not really related, but it has to do with Hilchos Shabbos and eating food on Shabbos. Perhaps quite the contrary of Tumcha Shabbos, but still it's somewhat of a connection to it. And this sefer that I love to use is a wonderful case, that not fun, but it's an interesting case, and he makes it very flowery, the whole situation. But it's a situation where there's a hotel in Eretz Yisrael on the Yam HaMelech, in the Dead Sea, a beautiful hotel, and describes all the saunas and the steam rooms and all the various spa treatments they have there. And they're enjoying a beautiful Shabbos there, and there's delicious food, and it's a glatt kosher program they're on. And in the middle of the night, Friday night, while everyone's enjoying their food and the meal, so the one in charge, the administrator, goes into the kitchen and he smells something burning. And he notices that the cholent is burning, the potatoes and kishka are all burnt. And he knows that his customers will be very upset tomorrow if there's no cholent. So he quickly tells two of his helpers in the back there, two Arabs supposedly, I guess, and he tells them to start peeling potatoes and then putting it in and adding some water to the cholent. And then quickly they fixed everything and it was a beautiful smell. And he said, very nice, everything's back to normal. And no one in the hotel knew what was going on. And by the next day, so they served cholent and it was delicious cholent. And he describes here how everyone was loving it and the briskers were saying, this is cholent from Esharim. And they're enjoying the beautiful meal. And Shal Shudis, one of them is talking with one of the workers, just having a nice conversation. The worker was saying, I had never made cholent before. And last night we were told to peel potatoes and put water and cut meat up. And they said, wait a second. And they realized that they were making the cholent on Shabbos itself. Everybody got upset. They went to the administrator, the one running the catering hall. They said, we want our money back. And that was the case. The question becomes, do they deserve their money back? Because they were advertised glatt kosher, and it was not glatt kosher at all. It was actually usser. And there are certain levels of kashrus, even that which is not glatt still may be kosher. But this is a davar isser that they ate that was made on Shabbos. Do they get their money back? Do they get some of their money back? Or are they completely stuck, and that's what happened? What happens? That's the question that came up. Not quite Tumcha Shabbos, but again, it certainly relates to Hilchos Shabbos. So my understanding is there are no printouts, but perhaps you have it on the phone. We sent it on the phone. Okay, we have it on the phone. So take a look inside in page number one, this discussion. And the question really surrounds... Sorry? They did not mention a mashkiach here. They did not mention that. Similarly, the mashkiach would be, but it might be that the administrator they felt was, he may have been frum, they thought, and maybe he was serving as mashkiach, which could happen sometimes, which is a terrible idea, because right. You can't trust the ones owning the business because they care more about the money sometimes than the actual cash. It's not always the case, but it becomes a tricky matter. But at least the shiloh was related to the administrator, not to the mashkiach. So the question surrounds, number one, is a mekach tos. That's really the hilchos choshe mishpah halacha. Is this a mekach tos? Did he sell them something or, give them a service that really wasn't correct? And number two is, how do we understand hilchos Shabbos halachas in terms of the Maisa Shabbos? And thirdly, what responsibility one has to pay when eating a davar iser? So take a look at number one here. In the Shulchan Aruch, this is choshe mishpah reish lamedalot. And this is in the section of halachas called hilchos ana, mekach tos. We spoke a little bit last Shalshas about Ona as related to price gouging. They go together with Ona and Mekach Tos. So the Mechaber writes in Siv Beis here as follows. V'cheina shochet para umachra, a guy shechs a cow, and he sells it. V'nodishi trefa, they found that after the fact that it was trefa, and it's almost impossible to know an animal's trefa before you shecht it, because only after you shecht it could you open up the inside, you could test out the lungs to see if there are any punctures. So, masha achlu, so they ate treif, v'yachzal hem adamim, that whatever they ate, the shochet has to return back, pay the money, if they ate treif. U'masha lo achlu, if they didn't eat the treif, they bought the meat, but they didn't eat it yet, v'yachzal abas, they just return the meat, v'hu yachzal adamim, they return the money. Either way, the shochet has to return the money if he sold them a treif, a piece of meat. Vim machru halokhim, baser zeh shel treifa lagayim, if, let's say, Reuven bought it from the butcher, and he sold it to Goyim. Oshechilu leklavim, or fed them to his dogs. So then Yichashu ima tevach, he has to make a cheshbon with the tevach, with the butcher, al dmei atrefa, meaning how much a kosher piece of meat costs versus a treif piece of meat. I mean, if he himself ate it, then he gets all the money back. He ate a davar iser. But if he gave it to somebody else, he sold it or gave it to his dogs, so he doesn't get the money back. He only gets the difference of what treif meat costs versus kosher meat. So they have to make a cheshbon, al dmei atrefa, v'yachzer lematevach, as a mosa, the surplus of, he paid for, $100 for a kosher piece of meat, but the treif meat is really worth $60, so he gets $40 back from the butcher. This is the halacha. Whenever a person eats a davar iser, that's aser, min haTorah, so if he himself ate it, so whoever the mocha was, he gets the full money back. You made me eat a davar iser deraisa, I need the money. I paid $100 for a steak, it was treif, you owe me the full $100. If, however, I sold it, made money off it, or if I gave it to my dog, steed, so then I don't get the full payback, I just get the difference of what a kosher piece of meat costs versus a treif piece of meat. That's the first, that's aleph in terms of eating an iser deraisa. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Gimel, let's say he only ate something that was aser midirabanan divrei sofrim. Then the halach is im hayu haperos kayamim, if the fruit or whatever he's eating is still intact, he didn't eat it yet. Machzer peros v'noto damav, he gives back the fruit to the mocher and he gets his money back. Fine, but im achum, if he ate the fruit already, if he ate a davar iser midivrei sofrim, the halacha is im achum achal, he ate them ve'ein hamocher machzer lo. The next word is klum, he does not return anything back. So there's a big chilek here whether he ate an iser deraisa or he ate an iser derabanan. If he ate an iser deraisa, he gets his full money back. If he ate an iser derabanan, he does not get the money back. That's the chilek brought down by Shulchan Aruch. And there are two reasons explained by the Sma. If you look at the Sma there on the left side, in the bracket, he writes, Davar she'isura midivrei sofrim, didafka mimichshal de iser deraisa kansu. What's the reason why the mocher has to pay the money back if he sold an iser deraisa that I ate? Because we give him a kanas. He was machshami. He made me eat an iser deraisa. We give him a kanas. Oh, the second reason he says, de'ein achilas ha'ochem chashiv lahana, that mitzidi, from the mocher's perspective, the first answer says, we have to give a kanas to the mocher. We penalize him for selling me an iser deraisa. The second svar of the sma is, mitzad the lokeach, from the one who bought it, who ate it, I didn't get hana. He says, there's no hana for me, I ate an iser deraisa. Even though the steak may have tasted good, but once I find out that was an iser deraisa, I ate a bacon, let's say. So then, ein achilas ha'ocha mechashiv lahana, that's not called hana. Ve'adarabba, mitzar hulo, she'avra al iser deraisa, caused me great pain to know that I ate an iser deraisa, b'achilason af b'shogeg. So there are two reasons why, when it comes to an iser deraisa, we make the mocher pay the money back full. Either because he was machshilmi, we give him a penalty, or because I got no. There's nothing for me to pay for. I only pay for that which I get benefit from. But if I didn't benefit from it, it actually caused me tsar, then I don't have to pay. I deserve my money back. Those are two reasons. Then he says, all that's true when it comes to deraisa, ma she'enkin ba'achal iser derabanan, the halacha is these dinim would not apply. We would not penalize him because the iser wasn't so bad. And my hana, it was hana. I don't feel so bad if I ate an iser midirabanan. Not that it's a good thing, but I don't feel as disgusting. I don't feel as gross that I ate an iser midirabanan as opposed to eating an iser deraisa. So these are two svaras brought down by the sma, why there's such a chilek between eating an iser deraisa versus eating an iser midirabanan. Everyone okay so far? Okay. Now there's another shot in the gra. I'll just mention this outside. We don't have to focus so much, but just to be aware, there's a third shita of why the halacha is you get your money back when you eat an iser deraisa. And he writes on page number 2 here, he says, if you look at that circle on the bottom, nir atam de'eno bar damim. There's no value, there's no intrinsic value to the food. Meaning, the first approach was, we penalize the mocher for making the guy eat a davar iser. The second approach was, I got no hana. This third approach is the meat itself, the chefs of the meat, has no value. That's the third approach, which we're not going to focus on. I'm just sharing these are three basic reasons found in the poskim as to why one gets his money back full if he ate, in fact, an iser deraisa. Now, there are a few nafkaminas. Whether the reason is we're going to ignore the gruff for now, but the two reasons of the sma. Is it because we give a knas or because I got no hana? Those two reasons, there are three nafkaminas found in the achronim between these two basic reasons of the sma. So you look at number 3, the Aruch HaShulchan.
But the mocher also had hana by getting money for it.
And echanami, but then therefore what?
Therefore, the mocher shouldn't have hana from the sale either, from the trade for me. The money should be returned to the person who bought it. Now the mocher didn't have any hana either.
But the fact that he got hana from it, there's no rule. Meaning, I only pay if I get hana. Mashinena. If I didn't get Hana, I don't have to pay for anything. The fact that he got Hana, that would only be we could give him a Kanas, which is in essence, I think, what you're saying, the first reason. He should not gain from making me violate an Isser. So we penalize him. He got Hana, he got money off selling me bacon, treif. So he shouldn't get that, so we penalize him. So that's in essence, I think, the first reason of the Kanas.
I love this game with like comments. Like this happens all the time with Pesach
Bar. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
There are plenty of Pesach Bar Jewish stories every year that they brought out ketchup that was chametz.
Yeah, that's probably the least of the issues. I wasn't sure if I should bring up the talk about Pesach programs, but maybe you brought it up now.
It's a little message.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, it's
next Shal Shudas. Hot topic, next Shal Shudas.
I win.
Okay.
So,
fine. I'm already paid
up. Fine, so fair enough. Next week, Shal Shudas. That's why I feel bad. It's like so late in the game for you guys. But we'll talk about it anyways. We'll mention maybe next year we'll do it even further. Maybe like we'll speak about January time.
Okay.
But just make them aware. Make them feel guilty a bit. And I don't want to make people feel guilty. Either way, but yeah, it's very relevant for Pesach Bar. There's no question about it. So Shal Shuras and Mitzvah Shem will discuss that. Now, you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan now. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in page number 3. He says as follows. HaMocher Davar Maichel Chaver. A guy sells an item to his friend to eat. He finds out that he was sold to Davar Isser. In HaMekach Kayim, do we say the Mekach is Kayim? Bein Shu Isser Deraisa, Bein Shu Dirbanan. Whether it's Isser Deraisa, whether it's Isser Dirbanan. Afilu Hurak Mipnei Chumras HaPoskim. Even if we say it's a Chumr that he had, it's not a real intrinsic Isser, but it's a Chumr that he took upon himself, or maybe the Poskim recommended. HaMekach Batal. The din is, if you sell me something, whether it's a deraisa, iser, derban, iser, or even a chumra, the mekach is batal, I'm able to return the item back to you, and you have to pay me back the money. Umach shelo damim. De'ein lechamum gadol mizeh, there's no greater blemish. Now, im alokeach kvar achlo. Now, if I already ate the item, im hu iser deraisa, mach shelo damim, then he owes me the money back, because I didn't get hana, or it was a knas. Umasha achal achal, whatever I ate, it's I need to do kapara for that. V'atam ipnei shekonso lemocher shemocher davar iser. We give a penalty with knas the mocher for selling me a davar iser deraisa. Now skip the brackets. Ulatam ze, according to this svar, so this is the first nafkamina he's going to write. Eino ela kisha mocher haya kimo mezid medavar sheyachal le daha iser. The only time you give a knas is when he did it bemezid. If the mocher knew he was selling me a piece of bacon or a treif piece of meat, then that's when we give him a kanas and he must return the money. Aval im haya shogig gamur. If he was completely shogig, he had no idea, he was unaware of this, kagon shemacher basar, and only acharkach after he sold me the meat and I already ate it, nimsa beza eber trefis, he found there was a trefa in one of the limbs that he was unaware of beforehand, the din, and umedina ain't sach libdok acher kal trefas. You don't have to check all the trefas. There are many trefas. We don't have to check many of the trefas because they're very, it's a mir chain of matzah, very uncommon. So the only trefas we really check is the lungs. The lungs, we make sure there are no punctures. It's very common to have a lung punctured because the animals are eating, I don't know, grass, and then a needle might go in and then it punctures a lung. That's a common trefa we look for. We don't look for other trefas. But if you find the trefa, you happen to stumble upon another trefa, something in the neck or some other part of the body, that would render the animal trefa if there's, in fact, a hole going through the neck, let's say. So he didn't have to check one of these trefas. He found out in the neck, let's say, there was a trefa, and I sold the guy an item that was never iser. That's complete shogig. In that case, says the Aruch HaShulchan, let's skip a few lines here. Ein sarach lahachzir l'adamim kishachli. You don't have to. The butcher does not need to return the money because the only time it's a knas is if he did it by mezid. We did it by accident. He's not penalized. So that's one point. But if you hold according to aval yesh omim tamacher, the other svara. If I eat an iser deraisa, I'm not going to enjoy it. It's unpleasant to me. I'm going to want to vomit it up. So then, the adraba tsar gadahu. Then according to this, ulatam zev. The reason is because I got no hana. B'chol inin tsar chamochel lahachzel adam. He has to return the money. I mean, even though you didn't do anything on purpose, it was completely shogeg. We don't give you a knas, but I didn't get hana either. So if it was done that way, b'shogeg, if it's mitzad knas, I don't get the money back because he didn't do anything wrong. But if it's mitzad my hana, I didn't get hana. I didn't. You gave me a davar iser deraisa, which even though it wasn't intentional, but I can't get hana, so I do get my money back. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, a nafkamina is whether it's b'shogeg, do I get the money back or not? That's first nafkamina.
What happens if the guy mixed it?
Ah,
the guy who buys it.
Did you look ahead?
No.
Excellent. Very good. That's an excellent. That's the second nafkamina. Very good. So say yeah.
No,
it's here.
But it's in shogeg mizim itself. Meaning, if right, he buys it and then he mixes it up and it's batal b'shishim.
Ah.
And then he has hanah.
So if it's batal b'shishim, the halacha is.
Do you give a
knas
or no?
So that's the next. Let's look at the next knas. Exactly right, what he said. Very good. Excellent. Shlomi. He's going for Rosh Chabura. Then now Rosh Shal Shudis. Yom Rishon. So either way. So now look at what he writes. Exactly. V'yesh gam nafkamina. Last four lines of Aruch HaShulchan. He says as follows. Lehepech. There's an nafkamina the opposite way. Im arvu halokeach b'shishim. He mixes up with 60. Like batav b'shishim. We say. By most Yisurim, if a drop of milk falls in chulin, for example, and the shishim of chulin connected the milk, we say it's batal, and you're allowed to eat the chulin. So if this lokeach took the piece of meat, he mixed it with other kosher pieces of meat, where it's bitol b'shishim, b'davarsha iser eino nikar, where it's no longer recognizable, because that had been recognizable, you have to remove it, but if you don't recognize it, the nepach lios ket, and now we say bitol b'shishim turns the milk, or in our case, the chafed meat, it turns into a davar heter, L'tama sheni, according to the second reason, eino tzarch l'hachzer damim, because I didn't eat anything treif. The fact that we say batal, we say the davar iser turns into a davar heter. If milk falls into my chont, and now it's batal b'shishim, and I ate it, I did nothing wrong. Mamish, nothing at all. And therefore, I got hana, I got full hana, I don't get my money back. But if it's according to the first reason, l'tama rishom, we did it on purpose. He does something utter on purpose, b'mezid, even though it was batal in the end, we say, ei mevalin ish l'chachila. You're not allowed to. L'chachila, mevatal in iser. I can't l'chachila put milk in my chulin to make it batal. That's usr. So he did a davar iser. According to that, he actually would have to pay me back because we would give him a kanas. So the two nafkaminas say the Aruch HaShulchan is a case of shogeg, and the second nafkamina is a batal b'shishim. Excellent, Shlomo. Yeah.
The Mekah follows that the milkers promised Hanah and the buyer didn't get Hanah from...
No, he promised an item, he promised a product of service, and he didn't follow through with...
Service is that you eat something...
Kosher meat, a glot kosher meal.
Right. Both in the Sma and our children was close to Hanah cloud. But like in the case of the children, everyone's talking about how amazing the children was until they found out afterwards.
No, but once you find out that you ate a davar iser, I imagine your stomach's going to start...
retroactively disappear?
Yeah.
They enjoyed the cholent.
Yeah, but then the now, retroactively somehow, that affects how we ate. That's what the Sma says. It's an interesting thought that you could go back to undo a hana that was. But
today's definition of hana is very different than they defined it back in the day.
Well,
my purpose was to sit down and eat dinner and feel full, and that's what I did. That was my hana.
Yeah, but I imagine no one should feel this, but I imagine if you're told that you ate treif and bacon, you might feel like you want to vomit.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Right? But,
so.
But this happened a couple of years ago, right? No, I hope I would feel that way. But the point is to feel full.
That which is fine. Which is the case there as well. But they say, even though it's true retroactively, somehow it's a fascinating case how that works. But at the end of the day,
I didn't have to spend more money to go buy more food.
Right. Right.
This is
why I'm not sure this is the core, but it certainly is the reality. And it's high demand, you know, it's a lower supply, so because of that, the economics dictate its higher price. And
if it was mixed but
not bottled, then
it made more things trade. Is there, like, the micro might be on the hook for
either way.
If he
made more treif, perhaps if he asked the, let's say, the kugel, everything that was became usher in the summer, he should have to be responsible for it. Fine. Yeah. Well, anyone who made it usher. So they didn't say Gaim. I just assumed Arabs, but whoever it was, it's still going to be usher. No, there are a few different Easter. Well, so let's do one African Afkamina, and then we'll get to what the Easter exactly is, which you're touching a very good point. So the third Afkamina is, and we'll say this quickly, I'll say this outside, is whether or not you have to do kapara for it. There's a Nesiva Shalom that writes, that's in this year, Nesir's Mishra that writes, that if a person eats a Dover Easter, B'shogeg, you don't have to do kapar for it. An iser derbanan, b'shogeg, that you're unaware, does not require kapar. If you ate an iser deraisa, b'shogeg, you have to do kapara. There's something intrinsic to eating a davar iser. Even though you don't know about it, you have to do kapara. If you ate an iser derbanan, b'shogeg, that doesn't require kapara. So that's what he explains. He brings this as a nafkamina too, that whether or not there's a need for kapara here. But either way, that's page 4. Let's talk about what exactly is the iser here. So Gavi's asking, what's the iser that took place here? So was this an iser deraisa or an iser derbanan? That's a big nafkamina. If it's an iser deraisa that they ate, they get the money back from the administrator. If it was an iser derbanan, they don't get the money back. So what's the iser? So Gavi was touching about it. Was the guy? Was the Jew? So if it's either way, let's say it's a Jew for a second. So what's the lach of a Jew cooks on Shabbos? What? Asamana. Is that an iser deraisa or an iser derbanan? Deraisa? Nope. The ma'isa bishul that the Jew did is an iser deraisa, but the hana that others get from it is called ma'isa Shabbos. I mentioned this Friday night. Ma'isa Shabbos, that's only an iser midrabanan. So what we're only talking about here is at worst an iser midrabanan. And even if a guy was the one cooking it, so that also might be ma'isa Shabbos, but bishul akum, which is also only iser midrabanan. Not to say only iser, but not that no one should be doing that. But if one did get hana mitzad hilchos choshen mishpat, so the din would be, does not deserve his reimbursement. He ate an iser derbanan at worst. That's all it was. And therefore, right now, if we stop here, the din would be, he's pater, he does not get the money back. That's the din. What case would be deraisa? Not by Hilchos Shabbos, but if a guy ate treif. The treif, that animal that had a punctured lung or bacon. So that would be an iser deraisa. And then... Yeah, so those would be iser deraisa, exactly. On Shabbos, you won't have an iser deraisa of eating the food, but it would be by treif and things of that sort.
What about I think the Rav was referring to the kapara aspect. What about the intrinsic tumah that the nefesh has, like Moshe Rabbeinu not immersing?
Right.
That's like a
mitzvah,
so you can't fix.
Right.
Can you tie on someone about that?
Right now, there's what's called, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah calls a kitumtum halev.
Yeah.
The lev is somehow affected by it spiritually by eating the food. Yeah. That mitzias, there's no claim you have. There might be grumma of some sort. You can't make a chosh mishpat taina and mamonis when it comes to that element. It's a fair question. It's tough. There's kaparas you could do. The Chassam Sofer has a whole discussion what kapar one could do for timtum alev, but you can't penalize the mocha for that. So now, right now, if we were to stop at this case, at this stage, so then the halacha would be that the administrator would owe no money back, even though he was very wrong and did a number of yisurim doing so. He does not have a responsibility financially to pay back, since at worst it was an iser mi di rabbanim. Now, they bring down from the pre chadash, however. What do you mean? That?
Meaning, the halacha is whatever you ate, you can't get back. Whatever you didn't eat, get back, and you get your money back, right?
I mean, if you don't get hana, so. I don't know if they talk about that, but let's say they didn't pay the money up front. Let's say they didn't. If they paid full, they're stuck. But let's say they didn't pay full, or they pay anything. They pay after the Shabbos. That was the arrangement. So now, the halacha is, if the din is they owe money to the ministry, they have to pay the money up. But there's another sheet which is about to introduce the Pri-Chadash. Pri-Chadash says that they don't owe the full amount of money. They owe the difference. In other words, whatever that difference is between kosher meat and non-kosher meat, they paid for kosher meat $100, but non-kosher meat $60, let's say. So really, they only owe $60 now. So if you assume, Pri-Chadash says, they deserve the difference in value, they get $40 back. That's what the Pri-Chadash says. So right now, do they owe nothing? No, but if you sell in the marketplace, what do you call it?
So that's not what they're getting.
No, but in essence, they ate non-kosher meat. So what would it cost to have non-kosher meat? So whatever that value, however you figure the value is, there's some less value of non-kosher meat versus you go to a non-kosher supermarket, I'm sure the steaks are much less.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever the market value is, you bring it down.
It's not worth anything. Right.
No, but we look at the market value, whatever it might be. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you ate it iser midrabanan, you deserve nothing back. Pi-Chadash says, no, you deserve the difference back of what it costs to get kosher cholim versus non-kosher cholim, whatever that might be. So now we get into an interesting case, whether the guests paid or didn't pay. There's this concept in Chosh Mishra we've discussed in the past, Kimli. I hold like this Shita. You could attach yourself, whoever holds on to the money could say, I hold like this Shita. I'm with that position. So if you pay the money back a full, I paid my for the hotel stay, the administrator, who's apparently not from, I guess, or certainly not very from, so he says, I hold like the Shulchan Aruch, I owe you no money back. I cause you to eat only Nesim Midrabanan, and I don't have to pay money, I'm off the hook. If the guest didn't pay the money back, pay money yet, he can say, I hold like the Pichadash, it says, I don't owe you the $100, I only owe you the $60, and he only pays the $60. That's whoever holds the money, he's in control, as long as he can attach himself to a very strong posek out there. That's what comes out from this particular din. Now, there's one final halacha in this discussion, which is, goes as follows. When it comes to halachas of Mekach Taos, so he brings down here that when they advertise this is a hotel stay that was a glatt kosher, it turns out it wasn't glatt kosher. The entire program was a glatt kosher meal, a program, and it was not. That's a Mekach Taos. Now, even if you want to say, and he points out, how do you define what's called a Mekach Taos? What's called a mum? So let's say it wasn't this case. Let's say it was a glatt kosher advertised, but it wasn't glatt kosher, it was a kosher rabbanut, whatever the different levels are. So it was still kosher, but it wasn't like the highest standard. So is that called a Mekach Taos or not? So a Mekach Taos is defined by what does the minog dictate? What do people call a mum? I mean, even though it might not be objectively a mum, but if we think it's a mum, that's a mum. So if I'm going to Mahajan program as advertised, but turned out it's only rabbanut, so that would be considered a Mekach Taos. That's the din. So here as well, certainly in this case, if anyone was advertised, I'm not... What? We could that also. That's another. We could discuss that if you want another shot. I'll shoot us maybe, but that was a little bit. But either way, in this situation, whereby it was advertised as a glatt kosher hotel, and it certainly was not by virtue of the fact that he violated Hilch Shabbos. So then the psak was they have to take off because of Mekach Taos. They have to bring down the price of the entire stay. In other words, if they paid let's say $2,000 for the weekend. And it was advertised as glatt kosher, and it certainly was not glatt kosher. So some cheshbon has to be made that it was average. You have to pay only $1,200 shkalim. Let's say. What? Well, how much you had to figure out the value of things?
Who said that because it's a little less of a better hechshbon?
Right. Right. It's a fair question. I don't know if it does, and maybe the answer is it doesn't. In economy, maybe if the values are the same of Mahajan versus Rabbanut, you wouldn't have any money back. But if there was a value decrease of a certain level of Hechsher, then you would deserve an overall return of because of Mekach. Tell us. All right, any other questions? Okay, Baruch Tia, guys. Have a great day, a good Chodesh, a good week.